Do you know, every time I come into church, I just feel, oh, there's something that God just draws us to this place, that I find that my soul is just satisfied when I come and worship Jesus. And I love it so much. And I hope that to my dying day, I hope the Sunday before I finally die, I make it to church. And I'm still, I don't know when that Sunday will be, but I hope I'm still as enthralled with Jesus and still as delighted to be in his presence as I am like now or the first day. And I just felt, you know, when we were worshiping, you know, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And that talked about him being before time and at the end of time. But he also talks about he is the beginning and the end of my soul being satisfied. And I just felt, no, I love that. I am totally satisfied in Jesus. We've got a lot to get through. So can you turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're gonna crack right in to it, because we've got a lot to do. But just very briefly, before we do that, we went to the Jerry talks about this catalyst for the workplace conference. It's really exciting that Jerry has been, he said he's going to say something for 30 minutes. He's actually been asked to be the keynote speaker because of when we went to the Catalyst Festival, and Jerry spoke in front of a couple of thousand people about what it was to take Jesus into your workplace. It had this significant impact across all of the churches that we connect to. And then after that, he was asked to come and speak at this conference here. So we just think that God is doing something amongst us. God is doing something amongst Jerry. It's very, very exciting. And the other thing is that just recently I've been watching a lot of what Tim has been doing on television and on radio all over the place. So it is quite fun because it's Tim. It's like, it's our Tim, okay? Our Tim. But then he's on the news and he's standing there with a suit. He's still for once. Whenever Tim's up at the front, he's sort of like doing this all the time. But he's on television. He has to sit still, okay? And it's really interesting just hearing Tim speaking on the radio and on all sorts of... Was it Russia Today? That wasn't the latest one. That was the latest one I looked at. Russia Today, Tim was on there just talking about what it is, the impact of some churches closing across France and all sorts of things. It was very, very interesting. Okay, here we go. Jeremiah 20, 29. So you understand the context of the verses that I'm going to read. In the year 586 BC, so 2,500 years ago, Jerusalem and the nation of Judah was defeated by Babylon. And the Babylonians then took all the important people from Jerusalem out of Jerusalem, and they took them into exile into Babylon. And they were all the important people. It was all the artisans, it was the artists, it was the leaders, it was the intellectuals, anybody of any importance in Jerusalem, because it was a defeated city and they just annihilated the city. They took all the important people and they stuck them in Babylon. The elite of Jewish society taken out of Jerusalem and put into Babylon. Do you think they wanted to be there? No. Can I just say, they did not want to be stuck in exile in Babylon. The prophet Jeremiah heard from God and wrote a letter to all of these leaders in Jeremiah. And do you know what he said? Let's read it. Jeremiah 29, from verse 4, we're going to read to verse 14. This is Jeremiah prophesying to the people of Israel who were in exile. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back from this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek my face, and you will find me. And when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Now, this is an extraordinary few verses. Because all these people from Jerusalem, they did not want to be in Babylon. They wanted to be back in their home in Jerusalem. Can I just say, there are some times I don't like living in London. Okay, there are times, because at heart, if anybody knows me, I'm sort of like this wannabe farmer, okay? I don't like it, you know. I want to be living out on a farm somewhere, tending to sheep and cattle and chopping wood and all sorts. But I find myself in London. And that there are other times I think it is the most extraordinary privilege to live in a city like this. And so all of these exiles who were had been taken out of Jerusalem into Babylon, then what God says to them is this. Build homes, stay there, plant gardens, have children, let your children marry, settle in the city. And then not only does he say, just settle in the city, he then says this, your welfare and your hope and your future is inextricably bound up in the future and the welfare of the hope of the city. He says this, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. I think God sent the Israelites into exile because he knew that when they were living in exile in Babylon, they would have to lean into God a lot more. Because it was uncomfortable for them to be in that place. And it says, when you seek me, when you're living in the city, you will find me. I've been reading a great book by Tim Keller. And he talks about cities. Or he quotes a guy who talks about a city. This is a quote from a guy called Rodney Stark. And it says this. He's a sociologist who deals with a lot of religion. He says, Christianity served as a revitalization movement that arose in response to the misery, chaos, fear, and brutality of life in urban Greco-Roman world. Christianity revitalized life in the cities by providing new norms and new kinds of social relationships able to cope with many urgent urban problems. To cities filled with the homeless and the impoverished, Christianity offered charity as well as hope. To cities filled with newcomers and strangers, Christianity offered an immediate basis for attachments. To cities torn by violent ethnic strife, Christianity offered a new basis for social solidarity. And to cities faced with epidemics, fires and earthquakes, Christianity offered effective services. There is something about being in the city that is extraordinary, and Christianity has always had an impact in the city. And as a church, we've always said, no, our goal is to be in a church that is engaged and is involved in the city. Now, I don't know, when we went to the Catalyst Conference back in May, and some of us who were there, not all of us went, and not all of us who went heard a guy called Alan Scott speak. And Alan Scott is the leader of the Vineyard Church up in Coleraine in Northern Ireland. And I would say it's the church that has most caught what it is to transform a city that I've ever seen. And their goal is not to be the best church in the city, but their goal is to be the best church for the city, which is a big difference. Because sometimes we so want to be the best church and we want to grow and we want to do this, but actually it's a church that has caught what it is to be a church that is a blessing to the city. And I remember when we went to Catalyst, Alan Scott said this. He said, Jesus said that it is his job to build the church. It's his job to do that. And it is our job to go and seek and save the lost, to go out and to go out into the harvest field. But he said he realized that so often he tried to do a job swap. That actually he tried to build the church and he wanted Jesus to go and seek and save the lost. And so what they did, he realized that he'd switched it around. And actually he had to come back to saying, no, I'm just going to go and seek and save the lost. And actually, Jesus, I'm going to trust you that you will go and build the church. And so what happened is this week on Monday and Tuesday, the four members of staff of the church, have you got the next slide, John? There you go. The four members of the staff team, the paid staff team, there are lots of people who volunteer and do so many different things, but Dave and Manuela and Christina and myself, the two guys in the background, have no idea who they are, but they're not part of the team, okay? We went out and we spent 2 days at this church up in Coleraine. John, just the next slide, can you? Just in case you don't know where Coleraine is, it's right on the most northern tip of Northern Ireland. And this is Giant's Causeway. And we finished it all, and then we thought, okay, we're just going to go for a jolly. And we went up to Giant's Causeway, which was quite fun to go and see what it was. But when we went to this, in fact, just go back to the previous. In fact, go back, what? Yeah, that was, you don't want to see our picture up there all the time. We found in Coleraine a church that was doing something very special for three reasons. And I want to feed this back to partly to let you know what we were doing, but also because I feel that this church has pushed us further down a road that we have already been traveling, but significantly pushed us down. And I need to relate that back to you, particularly at the beginning of this term. We found a church there that was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they loved being in the presence of Jesus. So when I stood here, when Manuela and the team were leading us in worship, there was something of my heart. I know I carry the presence of Jesus wherever I go in my workplace, but there is something unique about together coming and worshiping Jesus. And I can't necessarily define exactly what it is, but I just know that my soul is at rest. My soul is satisfied in Jesus and in Christ alone. And I know that that is where I want to be more than anything. And we found a church that is significantly filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I need to let you know that secondly, we also found a church that is seeing hundreds of people saved a month. And you know, sometimes when people say that, you think, do you know what? I can hear you say that. I'd quite like to see it. I'm not being overly skeptical or sick, but I would just like to see. How are you seeing hundreds of people saved a month? Well, actually, we went out. We did this two-day conference, two-day leadership sessions. And then they just said, okay, if you want to miss a session and just go out on the streets, you can go out now. And I thought, did I want to go out onto the streets and talk about Jesus? No, I didn't actually. If I'm quite honest with you, I didn't want to at all. Did I think it was the right thing to do? Yeah, absolutely I did. Therefore, they said, who's going to go out on the streets? I said, okay, right, I'll go out. And we were only going to go out for 45 minutes. We met out in Coleraine. And there's a guy there who, Mark Marks, who's done... He developed something called Healing on the Streets and a number of different ways of talking about Jesus. And he just said, okay, we stood in the center. He just said, okay, all you want to do is go and ask people one question. And you just say, well, it's actually three questions. The first question is, can I ask you a question? Okay. And some people said no. The second question is, if Jesus could do any miracle in your life, what would it be? And then if they say something to you, then you can pray for them. And then the third question is, if Jesus could do one miracle for you, what would it be? So instead of what you want from Jesus, what would Jesus do for you? And then they say, I don't know. I said, well, he has already done that in Jesus being sent on the cross, being sent to die on the cross for you. Did I want to go and do that? No, not really. Did I do it? Yeah. Was it extraordinary time? Yes. You know, sometimes you don't have to actually really want to do something. You just have to put yourself in the right place. And I went to, so we just said, okay. He said, you've got 45 minutes. Don't worry about asking God to who's the right person. Just talk to everybody, anybody. It doesn't matter, anybody. And then I went up to one guy and said, excuse me, can I ask you a question? And he said, no. I thought, oh, okay, all right, fair enough. It wasn't a problem. And then we spoke to another guy and he said, can I ask you a question? If Jesus could do anything for your life, what would it be? And then he said, get my wife to always make lunch for me when I get back from the golf course. Right, okay, we're struggling with this one. So another guy who was sitting outside, he was having a cigarette break. He was working in a shop. And I just said, oh, can I ask you this question? He said, I've been done before on that. So I just said, oh, okay, what happened? And he said, he was interesting. He said, well, if I'm... And he wanted to sort of like me to just go away. And I just thought, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm not worried. But what happened? Did you say anything? Well, he said, well, to be really honest with you, I'm a priest. I said, oh, really? And you could just tell that it wasn't quite right. And as I spoke, and I said, if you're a priest, at least you could have pretended, I could have prayed for you. And you said, that's remarkable, I've been healed from all sorts of things. At least pretend to encourage me. And then in the end, I just spoke to him, probably in the end, for about 20 minutes. And he had two goes at being a priest, failed both times. He'd suffered with alcoholism and depression, and he realized he was gay. And his life was just, he said, I don't want God in that. No. And the thing is, sometimes you have to go out and talk to people like that. And I just thought, oh, in the end, I somehow just connected with him. And I said, well, is it all right if I just pray for you that in the midst of all of that, you would somehow know this beam of God's love is still at work in your life? That as you deal with all of that, so somehow you'd know God loves you. And he said, yeah, I'd quite like that. And there was an extraordinary... So when it was a church that has seen hundreds of people saved, and I believe it, and I've seen it, and I see how they're operating, and I think... So I saw a church that was filled with the Holy Spirit, seeing people saved, and the other thing is that they are doing an extraordinary work for that city. They are probably now the biggest provider of social care in Coleraine. They are working, in their annual report, it says that they are working and partnering with 109 local statutory agencies, making Coleraine a better place to live and work. And let me just show you some pictures. Just go on, John, can you next one? I just have to show you some pictures, because, and I'm showing these pictures not because it's not my travel pictures, this is my holiday, this is what I did. But I went and I stood in this place and I thought, no, this is where we are going. We have this already as part of what God is doing us. But we saw something and I think, oh no, this is just pushing us further down the road. They run a CAP center, they run a food bank, they run a clothing bank. And this was some of the storage of their clothing bank. Next one. They run, in fact, just go on to the next one. Okay. They have, okay, I think maybe 5 or 6 halls like this. Land is a little bit cheaper in Northern Ireland. Okay, I just need to let you know. They've taken over what was the biggest wood importer in Northern Ireland. They've taken over the site. And now in here they run the biggest farmer's market and car boot sale and craft fair in Ireland. Just go on one more. They run a polytunnel where they have prisoners will come in and they will grow food and they will do different gardening projects. Next one. Okay, of all the projects that really felt, no, I feel at home now, they run a wood chopping business. Okay, come on. They run a wood chopping business. And the thing is that all of these businesses, they are making money and generating income, but it's run by people who are prisoners, it's run by people who are on the margins, it's running by people that they are showing extraordinary levels of care and compassion for. Just go on to the next one. Okay, just go back, sorry. They are doing something incredibly exciting. Just stand up, just tell us about it, just very quickly.
Hairdresser, so it's a real meeting, and a sewing club or sewing classes. It's just amazing.
that they're doing so much, but they are a bigger church. And the thing is, we're not being told to copy them. But we are being put into place to be inspired by them, to think, what can we do in our city? The welfare of our welfare is inextricably bound up in the welfare of this city. And I believe that God has taken us on a journey. And so this is what I want to say at the beginning of this term. God is taking us on a journey of being a church that is filled with the Spirit. We really love that. And a church that is seeking the betterment of our community and our city. And a church that is seeing many people saved. Just very, very briefly, at the end of August, we ran a street party in Sefton Avenue. And it was the easiest thing in the world to do. But the impact that has had on my road has been absolutely massive. All it takes is one person to say, we will do something in a city or in a street, and it improves. And we had people who moved into our street because they heard that we do street parties. I'm not joking. And suddenly, we did a street party, and we galvanized community. And suddenly, people on our road, they know each other, and they like each other, and they're talking to each other. And do you know what? I believe that at some point, there's going to be breakthrough where some of my neighbors might just want to know something about church. But do you know, I think we could become a church that runs street parties. I know how to run a street party now. We've done it twice. And it is really easy. And the planning meetings with all our neighbors are probably more fun than the street party itself. Just great fun. And there's a poster on there that Barnet Council is saying, please, will you run street parties? Did you know that? They want to do it because they see something of social cohesion. And you think, no, we can do some things like this. There are some things that we can do that are really very, very easy. I think probably our weakest area of those three things about being a presence-centered church, impacting the community, and seeing people saved is seeing people saved. That we're not actually very, very good at that. Hence, next slide, Jonathan. We have this Revive London. And I won't go into all the details but actually there was a group of Americans that were come over and do something in London and galvanize a few churches, and then they pulled out. And I thought, no, I don't want to pull out. I still want to do this. Do I really, really, really like going out on the streets? No. But when I'm out there, I love it. When I actually get out there, I think, oh, this is fantastic. And so what we just said, okay, we're going to do these 4 days, the 12th, 13th, 14th, and the 15th of October. Wednesday to Friday, it's going to be during the day. Saturday, if you're working, you come and join us. And now we've been able to pull in four other churches, a church in Islington, a church down in Kent, a church in Horsham, and a church in Wembley. And the five churches, we're going to do it together. And I just want to encourage you, would you please come on the Saturday, and if you can take a day off work, or if you're not working, come for one of those other days as well. And the thing is, Jesus said, no, go out into the street. The harvest is ripe. And sometimes, I haven't been out on the streets because we've been told a particular way to do things. And you're saying, if you want to go out, you have to do it like this. It's a formula that you have to do. Well, I just need to know, I think we're going to have four or five different ways that you can share your faith. And one of those ways will fit really well with you. You can go and either ask a question. Can I ask you a question? What will God do for you? That is one way that you can do. Or you can go what some people call treasure hunting. And you go into a room and you just pray. You ask that God would give you prophetic words. And you say, I see a lad in a red shirt and he's got brown hair and he goes to this school and God wants to say this to him. And then you go out and look for that person and then you speak to them. Or what Jill, my wife, really loves doing is setting up a gazebo and it just says spiritual readings. And then you sit there on a chair and you wait for somebody to come to you. And then when somebody comes to you, you say, oh, I can give you a spiritual reading. You open Psalm and you just read that over them. Or what Dave said to me the other day was he said, I'd like to do tattoo readings. That would be really fun, wouldn't it? You sit in a chair and say, tattoo readings. And then somebody says, yeah, look, I've got this tattoo here. And then you say, yeah, well, I believe actually God wants to say this into it. There are all sorts of different ways that you can go and do it. Or the other thing is, you can just go and do a healing on the streets. If you see somebody who's unwell, you can just say, can I pray for you that God would heal you? There is some way that you will find that you will be able to connect with your personality. But what it takes is us for us to not sit in the room here. It takes for us to actually to go out. And I know, I can hear all the excuses. That's not really my gift. I don't really feel I'm called to doing that. That's for the people who are just barking mad. No, it's not. I promise you, it's not. What Jesus said is this, I will build my church if you go out into the harvest field because it's ripe. That's the call. And I want to get to this place. That I'm going to trust that God will build the church if actually we go out and we do something out on the street. So that's what we're going to go and do. There's stuff online about it. Have a look at it online, and you can book into it. The other thing that I want to talk about really quickly, and it's part of this thing for this new term, is that we've been looking about how we are running our small groups. I really want us to have a big impact on our city. And what it sometimes means is that we gather in here, but it also means that we gather into smaller different groups that have a heart for our city and have a heart for Barnet and follow people's passions and all sorts of things. But actually, the way that we've run our small groups here at Trinity has been a little bit difficult in the past. To be really honest, I don't think we have run them all that well. Because there are some groups that are running really, really well, but then there are lots of people that just think, I don't know, are there small groups in this church? I don't know, how does it work? I don't know. So for the last few months, we have been working quite hard to try and say, how can we restructure our small groups? One of the things that how they run at the moment is, one, they're quite hard to join. Because if you don't know what groups are running, how do you join them? The second thing is, if you want to join a small group, it's really hard if you're the only one that's new. Everybody else is great friends. Everybody knows each other. Yeah, it's great. Right. But, you know, and somebody new comes in and you think, oh, I'm the new person. I'm a little bit out. Okay, so it's quite difficult to join. The other thing which makes it quite hard to do is it's quite hard to get leaders because I know, I used to run a house group many years ago in another church. And if somebody asks you to come and lead a house group, it's like asking somebody to get married. You just know that 20 years later, you might still be leading this thing, okay? And you think, I just don't want to do that for all that amount of time. And the other reason why it was quite hard is it's not very flexible. So if I suddenly feel, do you know what, I've got a real heart. Actually, I want to set up a small group of people that will run more and more street parties in the borough. It's quite hard to suddenly change and suddenly have a group that will do that. So it's not a very flexible system. So what we are going to do is we're going to have a slightly changed structure, and Mr. Cooley is going to come and tell us some of the practicalities of how that works. Can I just tell you why we've asked Andy to come and do it is because Andy and I have, and Dave has been doing some stuff as well, but predominantly Andy and I have been working for the last, how long?
8 months
trying to work out how we restructure our groups. Over to you. And I put, just put the next one up, Jonathan, can you? Yeah.
Fantastic. So we're really excited. And the way we're going to get to the place where they are in Northern Ireland is by people's passions going out there and them leading in them. That's how it happens in Northern Ireland. And so our groups are going to be based on a rhythm. So every group is going to follow a certain rhythm, which means everyone, we're going to look up. So we're going to encourage each other to look up towards God. We're going to encourage each other to live a relationship with Jesus. That's going to be one of the priorities. The second one is we're going to look in. So we're going to be challenged inwardly, and our character is going to be challenged, and we're going to shape each other. We're going to be shaped for the gospel. And the third thing is we're going to look out. And that is, we are going to look, all of our groups are going to have an outward focus, so they're not all just going to be inward looking. We're going to make sure we're either going out, or we're thinking out, or we're being out, or we're praying out. So we are all going to focus on the city, basically. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to have different groups around different things. So around people. If you have a passion for certain people groups, so homeless people, or prison people, or anyone, musicians or anything like that, then if that is a passion of yours, go up online and see if there's a group running that's running that. If there's not, then maybe God's calling you to run that group. Places, are you passionate about a place? Duncan's talking about street parties in predominantly his street. He's passionate about this area. Maybe he could do Colindale, Mill Hill area, Barnet, a group focused on Barnet, reaching Barnet for Jesus. Or passions, I've used the word passion a lot. But that's because I want your hearts to be passions. But passions that you have could be anything. Are you passionate about sport? Are you passionate about music? Are you passionate about board games, sewing? Do you think other people might want to gather around that? And then finally, publications. So courses like Alpha, or courses like Purpose Driven Life, or any book or publication. So we just want a variance of groups running, which will feed the whole church, basically, and be focused on reaching out to this city. Okay, they are going to run termly. So this is a get-out clause. If you want to lead something, but you don't want to be trapped for 20 years, or if you want to be part of something, but you don't want to be trapped for 20 years, then you can join. You can join for termly. Each term we're going to have sign-ups, new sign-ups for it. Now, if that means you love a group and you want to stay in it, you're more than welcome to stay in it. If you don't and you want to move on, that's absolutely fine as well. And each term there'll be different groups running. Different leaders will step up and run different things each term. And you can sign up and be involved in what you can. You can be involved in more than one if you want, but we'd really encourage you to not overcommit yourself. And then finally, yeah, we have a two-week sign-up period, which is from this week until the 25th. Try to get online. They're all online, and we're going to have an online process of signing up. That way, what will happen is you will put your details in. They'll come to us, and then the leader of that group will then contact you and say, this is how it's working. Come along on this date. This is where it is. This is who's leading and everything like that. So let me really encourage you, get online, have a look, and yeah, sign up. We'd love everyone to be involved in our group life.
Just ask you really quickly, how does a sewing group work? I thought we were supposed to be like studying the Bible and that.
Maybe that's because you're not passionate about sewing.
Okay, well,
are you?
Tell us how it might work.
So I think things can work in different ways. I think we get set in a system of kind of we join together, we read the Bible, we pray, but they're generally very inward-looking groups. So we want, if you are passionate about sewing, you can sign up and say, I want to lead this group around sewing. I want to lead it here, and it's going to be a two-weekly group. So every other week we'll meet, and we'll just meet. We'll teach each other how to sew, and we'll have conversation and chat. Anyone can come. Your friends can come. Anyone from church can come. And I think just being together, sewing together, doing what God has made you to do, if that's sewing, then, yeah, that's what it's all about.
I did hear one group that was based around board games. And you think, what are we slightly going mad here? But there was a group of people that really loved board games. And so what they did was they went to a pub, and they always played board games that needed extra people. And for 3 weeks out of four, they would go to this pub, play board games, and intentionally try and just welcome anybody else who wanted to play board games. Anybody else. And the fourth week, they wouldn't meet, and they would go and do something else. And then the people that were playing with them every week, they said, what are you doing on the fourth week? And they said, well, in that fourth week, that's when we go back to somebody's house and we pray for everybody that we meet, that they would get to know Jesus and that we would shine brightly. And what they did is they found people who weren't Christians wanted to come for prayer meetings praying for themselves. And there's a fresh model that I think that we can embrace that would take us beyond just groups that are quite inward looking, but actually groups that are being a real and phenomenal, thank you very much.
Another thing, I think a lot of us think of evangelism as going out to the streets, and that is, and it's challenging to do, but actually God wants to use you in what you're gifted to do, and actually he will use you to have conversations with people with similar hearts to you as well. So just being involved in these groups will provide the opportunity to speak to people about Jesus, which is fun.
Very good. Can I just ask, can you put your hand up if you have a smartphone on you? I'm just about to do the most dangerous thing that anybody could ever possibly ask you to do. Okay. If you've got a smartphone, can you just get it out now? Okay. Can you get it out on the one condition that when I say put it away, you do put it away. You're not caught up in Facebook, email, anything else, okay? And I'm going to be saying, look at me. Okay. Open your web browser and put in there www.trinitylondon.org. In fact, I will do it as well. Okay, have we been able to get it? Have people got it? Are you okay? Hands up if you're reading your emails. Don't do it, DeBrin, Morgan. Okay, so Facebook, put it away. Okay, so when you get onto there, just do press the little hashes at the top where it says, and then press connect. trinitylondon.org. If you haven't got a smartphone, I'm really, really sorry. I don't mean to make you feel excluded. Yeah, put your hands up if you need a new phone. Don't get the iPhone 7. Okay, so, have you pressed connect? Yeah? So are you on a page now that at the top says group life? Yeah? Okay, we'll have to keep going if you can't do it. Okay, just go down the page, and then there are three buttons that says join a group, start a group, and FAQs. Yeah? Just press on join a group. You see it? Okay, now scroll down through the page. If you scroll down through the page, you will see all of the groups that are there that you can join. It starts with chat room. It then starts with a connect group. The connect group, by the way, is for new people in the church. If you haven't been coming long and you don't know many people, join that one. You can join that one at any point during the term. It's got all of them listed there. And all you have to do is you have to press a button that says sign up and join this group. That's all you have to do. And then you have to put your details in. And when you put your details in, the person who's leading that group will contact you and say, that is fantastic, you want to join this group. Really good, well done. And these are the dates that we're starting, and this is the play we're doing it. This is the place we're doing it. Okay, is that okay? I want to ask you, everybody now, could you all take your mobile phone and do this? Okay, everybody, now I know it's difficult, I'm going to go into shock syndrome if I do this. Look, everybody, look. Okay, so phone away just for the last few minutes, and then we're going to finish. I won't finish until everybody puts their phones down. No, okay, yeah. We'll be here for quite a long time. And okay. Yeah. All of the stuff with our groups, I'm going to finish and then we're going to pray. All of our stuff with groups is because we want people, I want to be able to connect with people who want to make a massive difference in our community. And I believe God's heart is on this church to do something extraordinary, to be a church that is filled with the Spirit, that is connecting with people and making a difference in the community, and is seeing many, many people saved. Can I ask you to do two things, to go away and pray about two things this week? One, sign up and join a group. Just find any group in there that you would like to join and join it. And be committed to it, just for a term. If you've got a group that you think, I want to start this group, there is another button on the website which says start a group, and that shows you really simply how you can start a group. We want lots of people to be able to start different groups. And then the third thing I would like you to do is this. Would you sign up to come out on the streets with us in October? Would you take a risk, come out with us on Saturday the 15th if you're working, and if you're not working, come out for one of those days, or even take a day's holiday. Come out on the streets with us. I'm going to finish and read this verse again. In fact, can I ask you just to stand? Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray for the Lord on its behalf, for in the welfare of the city you will find your welfare. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And Heavenly Father, we just say to you right now at the beginning of this new term that you are taking us on a journey of increasingly having an impact in our community and of connecting together for the welfare of this city. And we want to take this promise in Jeremiah that you have plans for us, for a future and for a hope. Oh God, but you take us to that place when we seek the welfare of the city. And I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that you would burst us out of this church in increasing measure, that we would be carriers of Jesus, whether we're going into schools, whether we're going into offices, when we go into our streets, whether we're going into our homes, whether we're going into TV studios, whether we're going into hospitals or schools or universities. I pray wherever it is, oh God, I pray it wouldn't be a case of us surviving the culture that we find ourselves in. But I pray, oh God, the culture that we find ourselves in wouldn't survive the amount of spirit-filled people who are so filled with joy. Oh God, I pray that you would cause us to be salt and light, Lord Jesus. Help us to transform something of London, something of Barnet, something of Colindale, we ask. And we pray now that you would fill us with your spirit. As you filled the early church, and they went from that upper room and they encountered you and nothing was the same again. You want to pray, come on us, Lord, now. Fall on us. Lord, just 100 people gathered in a room. And we think what you did with 12. And we think what you did with 120. And we say, oh God, here we are ready, oh Lord. We are ready for all that you have for us. We are ready, O Lord, to stake a claim in this part of Barnet that you have planted us. Father, we thank you. Come fill us now, Lord.